Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am truly grateful you're healthy and happy enough to join me here on this second day of May 2020. It has been a long haul for a lot of Americans, and I've been reading about the mental illness, the abuse going on at home, you know, with mates and kids and everything, and how we're actually handling this pandemic. Not very good, but what would you expect from a country that basically lives its life to avoid itself? This is what we've done all throughout this century, and before. You give people their freedom, and then what do they do with it? Well, you know, they squander it. They don't use it for the deepest purposes that would be maybe helpful to society or helpful to the world or helpful to each other or anything. They don't do it. So we're looking at the pandemic today from Who Can We Trust, because I get all of these emails about trust, how do we get out of this, yada da yada da. No one seems to understand it's what we do within this pandemic that is important, not how we get out of it. But what am I learning from within myself? What is this thing teaching me? And if you look at statistics and read some of the news, you will see it isn't teaching us anything. People just want to get through it. They don't want to understand it, what's going on with it, the nature of it, and how we can come out of this new people of a different ilk. Maybe looking at our life from a different point of view. So we're going to take a little look at this. And the first question comes from Susan in Austin, Texas. With the pandemic as big as it is, who can we trust with our well-being? It seems that government isn't that which we can trust, she says. Well, Susan, if you trust government at all for about anything, you're going to be sorely disappointed. You're going to miss, because the government's job is the government itself, and they don't have the well-being of people at mind, because they're always running for office. That's what we've set up as the premise of the whole thing. We have set up the whole idea that each and every, shall we say, politician runs for office during a certain amount of time, and they've got to prove that they're worthy of the vote. It's a bad system. It really is. And do I know of a better system? No, I don't. This is just the way it is here on planet Earth. And I have to accept that. You have to accept that. Everybody has to accept that. It's just the way it is here on planet Earth. And if you want to look at it from another point of view, who can you trust? How about the one you live with within you? This whole thing is to find out, if we're wise, can we trust that which lives within us? Do we have what is called faith? Now, I want to talk a little bit about faith here, not as the world might talk about it. For most people, the word faith has to do with hope, something we hope for, something we hope will happen, something that is of the ilk of thinking that there is someone or something like God out there who will grant us whatever it is we think we want and need if we are good little children. And that's not the way it works. And what I'm about to give you is probably above the pay grade of a lot of people. So forgive me. I'm going to try to make this very simple and easy to understand. Faith is intelligence. It is the intelligence that comes with living a simple, solitude, and silent life. If I can live in those three elements, simplicity, in solitude, in silence, within myself, I will start to get a bigger picture of what this whole life experience is all about. The problem with many of us as human beings is we live too much from our biology. We live from our DNA and our genetic nature. And these cause impulses within us and cause us to live impulsively. And the more impulsive I am about my life, the more I will react and act from the Paleolithic mentality of living like a caveman, like a, a Neanderthal. And if I do all of this, which most people do, I'm going to freak out. I'm going to start panicking. I'm going to start looking at this world and this life and thinking that we're being punished because I can't explain why all of this is happening. And so on and on and on, this kind of craziness goes on. It is insanity. And most people are very, very ill, mentally ill. They are. And they don't want to admit it. They don't want to see it. They don't want to comprehend it. But they are mentally ill. And this mental illness comes in sitting around and doing during this time where we are quarantined. This isn't sheltering. This is quarantine. Don't let the government put a spin on that for you. It's a quarantine. We are doing things to pass the time away rather than to enhance and enrich the state of our being. People are gaming, watching movies, cooking. Some people are cleaning, and that's fine. You know, doing the things they do. All of this in moderation is fine. But when it's the only thing a person can think of doing, the only thing a person can actually comprehend in their mind as something that takes them away from the reality of a given situation, then there is some difficulty. Then there is some problems. Because the whole idea of this time of being quarantined is to use the time wisely, to enhance and enrich the state of our being. Maybe it's about sitting introspectively. Maybe just sitting there, wanting nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha said, and just watching, listening to what's going on inside. Why am I so afraid? Why am I so bored? Why don't I know what I'm going to do? How will I live my life after this is all over? Is this going to offer to me a change where I am elevated, or will I just merely fall back into more and deeper fears, neurosis, psychosis, depression? You're asking a question here. Who can we trust with our well-being? You. You have to trust you with your well-being, but not the human you, not, in my case, the Greg Penn me. I have to develop faith. Faith is not what I hope for, a lifestyle, an ease, a comfort, getting my old life back. It's not about that at all. Not at all. Faith is the intelligence to recognize things that my intellect cannot comprehend, my intellect cannot appreciate. To sit in silence, to sit quietly, to sit letting my mind drift apart from me and getting in touch with the gap and the pause between my thoughts. I enter into a new world. I enter into actually a new reality. In that reality, there is a tremendous love that lives within. This is the love humankind needs so deeply. This is a love that is not emotional, it's not psychological, it's intelligence beyond the comprehension of the intellect that is always running around in fear and in hate, always prone to fear, always reacting to fear in hate. And when a person starts to live from the premise of consciousness, rather than conscience. When I am willing to go into consciousness, Susan, that is what I can trust. If I try to do that with the old me, the one, let's think of it this way, what we were pre-pandemic, and start to look at what we're going to be after pandemic, which is now, we open up to the beauty of our life. We open up to sustain intelligence. And what is this intelligence that I speak of? It is not something that is of a thought. It doesn't really have a word to it. It is consciousness for sure. But consciousness is something you experience directly. You do not talk about it. It is something you experience through direct experience. And if you can do that, if you are willing to live the lifestyle of simplicity, of solitude, and eventual silence, your heart will open up. Your creativity will abound. Insights will occur. Compassion will overwhelm you. You will feel this great love. And that is enough. Just to sit with that and allow that to grow in you. If you do something that intelligent, you're going to find things changing very rapidly within you. You can't trust government. You can't always trust people, although I am seeing a great beauty out there in people that I have not seen ever in my life, where people are helping each other in very kind ways, and I have great respect for all of that. This, if it has done anything, has opened up that door where we all realize we need to be kind to one another. I'm loving that, just loving it. But when the pandemic is all over, is that all going to be forgotten? That's what I'm wondering. The greatest changes are the changes that move me away from emotion and passion, which are the source of my fear and my self-hatred, and move me into a place, the speechless, silent place, that is love. Susan, I hope I could help you there. Forgive me if I got a little wordy. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question. The next one comes from Carol, and she does not tell me where she lives. How can we ever trust each other? We are misleading people who do nothing but look after the best for themselves. How can I trust people? Carol. Carol, I look at people from my intuition. I don't look at them from the state of their behavior. Their behavior often relates to what I find in my intuition about them. You have to see a person for what they are and what they can do. Now, let me explain that. Some people can't go very far. They can't give very much. They don't know what they're doing most of the time in their lifetime. They have no idea. This is the majority of human beings. They have no idea what is going on or what life is all about. They just don't get it. So the difficulty is that if I trust a person who knows not what he does or she does, and I get burned or I get false information or something sad happens, it's not that person's fault. I had the chance to really understand what they were doing, who they were, and what they were, and I ignored it. And if I ignore these things, then these things have a way of being true to themselves. Everything in this world is true to itself. And we start to see that we have been betrayed and are betraying. Because it's betraying your authentic heart to trust someone more than you trust the heart. The authentic heart. I am not talking about the emotional heart, Carol. I'm talking about the authentic one, the one that exists as love. Love is a great intelligence, just like faith. You have to have faith to have love. And when you have love, you have this beautiful faith. It's an intelligence. It is not an emotional whim. It is nothing to do with emotionality or thought. Everything that has to do with Greg Penn thinking is not going to help him at this time. This is a time when we must all reinvent ourselves. And instead of reinventing us from the awkwardness of the ego, the mentality of the average person who lives in, you know, the pandemic of the pedestrian mentality, I must live from an intelligence that is gentle, that is kind. You can't teach that to people. You can't offer that to many people without suspicion and hatred arising. You have to understand, we're living out of our humanistic part, our sapien, our biology. And this biology is what we're facing, a threat to our physical body, our biology, in that we provoke within ourselves all sorts of ideas and ideals about what is safe, what is not safe. The mundane social, you know, thing we've got going on of distancing ourselves from each other is really not the answer. It's the biological answer, that's for sure, but it's not the answer. The answer lives within you. What is that answer? See how you love. And what has kept you from the journey? That's the answer. I must see how I love. Do I even know love? Do I even understand the nature of love? No. Greg Penn and you, Carol, as a human being, we cannot know that as humans. But in a meditative state, in consciousness, we can know everything. There is another side to thee and me that is greater than the one speaking to you right now on this microphone and coming through the internet and radio. There's something much greater, something much more significant. But we're not seeing that, we're not hearing that because we're panicked, we're afraid, we're angry. We blame our leaders for all of this. What do you expect them to be? A politician is a politician. What do you expect? A chicken is a chicken. A watermelon is a watermelon. It is not a Ferrari. When you see people in charge of society, what do you think they're really doing? What do you think they really want? Do you think it's service to humankind? Well, it's not, because if you said to them, you have to do this and donate your time, we're not paying you for your service to the country, how many of them do you think would hang in there? How many? Not many, if any. Well, how am I going to earn a living? Well, now you know how we feel. They don't want to serve humankind. They want to get their nose in the public trough. So I understand what you're saying about trusting and people not having the best interest of others at mind when they're trying to help. But that's not the point of it all. This pandemic is about having personal reflection. This is a time where we have to take assessment of ourselves. For many, many years, I've been a spiritual teacher. And a part of that spirituality, that growing, that whole maturing thing, is based in the idea of self-examination. People don't want to self-examine. They don't want to see themselves. They don't want to recognize how much of their anger and fear play into their life and make their life the way it is. They don't want to do it. They resist it because they don't have the mechanism for compassion. I was reading on the internet and I was appalled at this. Really, I couldn't believe it. I just thought how sad we are. It was at Easter, and it was Jesus lookalikes. Hunky Jesus lookalikes. And my heart just sank. We've fallen to a new low. We really have. We can't hear his message. We don't understand who he was. People will say to me, millennials mainly, you know, if he came to save the world, he didn't do it. And I agree, but that's not why he came to save the world. And that's not what he was about. But nonetheless, and less than none, the mundane mentality. We have sunk to new lows, Carol. And I understand about your comment about misleading. People mislead each other. Yes, they do, for the sake of their own profit, whether that be in their pocket or in their ego or in their psychology. But the object now of the game is to love ye one another and to do everything we can to make love possible with other people in their lives as well as within us. Do we have the ilk for this? No. So we are irked by the lack of our ilk. And there is nothing anyone can do. There will be people who will survive all of this. A lot of people will survive it. But there will be far lesser people, far fewer, I should say, that will be benefited by it through love. Far few. Carol, don't put blame on all of this. Don't look to other people to help. Just be of service. Do everything you can to make love possible in you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, I've got to move quickly. This is from Linda in Los Angeles. She always has great questions. Now what, Greg? I'm so depressed. Now what? Linda, meditate. Explore your depression. Explore how this depression works in you. You might see that it's self-serving. It's so you don't have to do anything. It's so you don't have to go beyond the mentality of your tribe. Maybe it's something of a selfishness. I know most people that I know who are depressed have a certain quality of narcissism in them. And maybe it has to do with sustaining that, keeping that, developing that. I don't know. I don't know you. All I know is all the beautiful questions you've given me. But you've never gone into the work. Never gone into the practice after all these years. Maybe it's time for you to do something in the practice, in the work, in love. Maybe it's time to do something out of the box, to let love live you to such a degree that you do things that help yourself and others. Explore your inwardness and don't get stuck in the outer. It's not worth it. If you get stuck out there, it's harder to pull you in. Live within yourself. Find the creativity, the love, the compassion, the beauty to do those things that need be done. Anything. Make masks. There's so many things you can do. I pity you living in LA, though. Ouch. But right now, it's got to be pretty good because there's nobody on the freeway. Thank you, Linda. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Thank you for listening. I have more questions that are posed to me about this pandemic tomorrow. Have a beautiful day. Live wisely. Live in simplicity, solitude, and silence. Namaste.